Okay, good morning, everyone. I am Asma Morsi from Purdue University and work with Dr. Kerry Mitchell. Today I will talk about optimizing controlled release fertilizer for growing leafy greens on the International Space Station. So first of all, this project is collaboration between Purdue University and NASA. So the main objective from this project to look at two things, light quantity, light quality and fertilizer formulation. So we're trying to identify the optimum light spectrum and fertilizer formulation for growing solid crops for the astronauts in the International Space Station. So our two objectives, we focus more on fertilizer. So we have two main objectives. So our first objective is identifying the optimum controlled release fertilizer formulation for growing two leafy green species under the International Space Station environmental condition. Our second objective is looking at substrate. So we're trying to identify the optimum substrate compositions for growing plants under ISS environmental conditions. So the International Space Station houses a small vegetable production unit called VEGI. So VEGI looks like a small growth chamber with LED light cap in the top and reservoir in the bottom. And our plants receive water from the reservoir by wicking cap reaction. So VEGI uses ISS environmental conditions, which are 24 degrees Celsius during the day and 21 degrees during the night, and our relative humidity of 45% during the day and 50% during the night, and CO2 level of 2,800 parts per million. And we use photoperiod of 16 hours per day. So several plants have been selected for growing under the International Space Station environmental condition. However, they downed their selection to four plant species. So they selected Chinese cabbage as number one, Woolman Green, Outrageous, and Mizuna. After doing some research in our lab with former graduate students, we find that Chinese cabbage do not tolerate ISS environmental conditions. And also they done the same research on NASA and they find the same results. So they decided to take it off from their list. At Purdue, in a growth chamber, we have a ground-based VEGI analog called PPSE, or Biomass Production System for Education. This system designed by Orbitech for our research purpose. So it's very similar to VEGI. We have the same light cap with light quality and quantity, and we have reservoir also for plants to receive water by cap reaction. And we also have the capability for adjusting the light cap height during the experiment so we can maintain the same light intensity throughout the experiment. So to compare VEGI with our system, they are very similar except in size. So our PPSE system is slightly larger than VEGI, but it has all the same other features from light cap and reservoir and light quality and quantity. We have six PPSEs in our growth chambers. So today I will present the first objective for Purdue, which is identifying the optimal controlled release fertilizer formulation for growing two different leafy green species on the International Space Station, along with applying the horticulture cut and come again practice. So our plant material, we have two plant species. We have Mizuna and red leafy lettuce, Outrageous. So if you're not familiar with Mizuna, it's an Asian salad crop. It's more similar to arugula. And the reason why we selected those two plants, because as I mentioned earlier, those plants selected as candidates for growing under ISS environmental conditions. So our experiment design, we mimicked all ISS environmental conditions in our growth chambers, and we used six plants under each PPSE system, and we used five systems for each fertilizer treatment, so we had total 30 plants growing under each treatment. We also use total light intensity of 330 micromole per meter squared per second divided between different light spectrum. So we use 270 micromole per meter squared per second red light and 30 micromole per meter squared per second green light plus 30 micromole per meter squared per second green light. So So in terms of substrate, we used a calcined clay-based substrate, commercially known as Profile, and we used 400 milliliter bare container substrate. For our fertilizer, we used controlled release fertilizer. We used NutriCoat, which is a polymer-coated fertilizer. And the reason why we use controlled release fertilizer for two main reasons. The first reason is using liquid fertilizer on ISS will create lots of problem because there is no gravity on ISS. And also if we use different other types from slow release fertilizer, they have they affected more by environmental conditions. So NutriCoat, polymer coated fertilizer, it's known as more advanced than other slow release fertilizer. It's also less affected by the environmental conditions. So we used a total of 6 grams fertilizer bare container. So we used two different fertilizer treatments, 50% T70 and 50% T100. What T70 and T100 means, this indicates the time of release. So T70 released over 70 days, and T100 is a slower release, so it released over 100 days. We used another treatment of 50% T70 with 50% T180. So T180 is the slowest release in those fertilizers, so it releases over 180 days. So as I mentioned earlier, we applied cotton camagin horticulture practice, which means we harvest our plant material several times. So we have three harvests. During our first and second harvest, we harvest all large and medium leaves and keep small leaves for regrowth, and we identified our small leaves as any leaves smaller than 4 inches. So first harvest after 28 days from planting, our second harvest 42 days from planting, and during our third and final harvest, we harvest the whole plant material, which is at 56 days from planting. Looking at our results for Mizuna, for the mix of 50% T70 with 50% T100, we noticed significant increase in shoot fresh weight from harvest to harvest. Looking at the dry weight, we had the same trend, so we had increased average shoot dry weight from harvest to harvest. We also measured leaf area, leaf number, and we find the same trend, that's fresh weight and dry weight. Looking at the T180 treatment, we find we had the highest yield during the second harvest and lower yield during first and third harvest. We had the same results for our dry weight and leaf area and leaf number. In terms of treatment comparison, we compared the total fresh weight for both of our treatments to see which treatment will end up by higher biomass. So we find that a mix of 50% T70 with 50% T100 has the highest yield compared with the 50% T70 and 50% T180. For latest results, we find significant increase from first to second harvest in average shoot fresh weight. However, we didn't see any significant change from second to third harvest. When we looked at the dry weight, we find different results as our yield increased from harvest to harvest, even though the fresh weight didn't change from second to third harvest. Our leaf area and leaf number had the same trend as dry weight. When we looked at the dry weight, we find, is it T180? For the T180 treatment for our latest experiment, we find increase from first to second harvest. We didn't see a change from second to third harvest. However, for the dry weight, we find the same trend. We didn't see a significant change from second to third as the T100 treatment. Leaf area and leaf number had the same trend as dry weight as well. So in terms of treatment comparison, we find higher yield in our 50% T100 compared with the 50% T180. So comparing our plant tissue mineral content for both Mizuna and lettuce, for Mizuna, we didn't see lots of changes in the T100 compared with the T180. So the only significant change we find in the macronutrients is in nitrogen and potassium, and they decrease from harvest to harvest, and we didn't see a significant change in potassium and magnesium. Looking at the micronutrients, we didn't see a change in all of them except boron, which is increased from harvest to harvest. However, for the T180 treatment, we find more changes. We find more changes in the T180 as we find significant decrease in macronutrients from harvest to harvest and significant increase in micronutrients from harvest to harvest, except iron, where we didn't find any changes. Looking at latest results, we find more changes in the T100 and lettuce compared with Mizuna. So we find the same trend for macronutrients as it decreased from harvest to harvest, except for magnesium, which is increased. And for micronutrients, we find increase from harvest to harvest. Looking at the T180, we find the same trend, but if you compare both results for T100 and T180, you will see that the amount of reduction in macronutrient is more more severe in the T180 compared with the T100. So by this, we concluded that both of our Mizuna and lettuce grow better under the mix of 50% T70 to 50% T100, compared with the 50% T70 and 50% T180. And we concluded also a micronutrient decrease in both treatments. However, this decrease is more severe in the T180, which might be a reason for reduction in yield in T180 compared with T100. So, and I want to thank you, our funding source, NASA, Dr. Joya Mesa, for her support and guiding. My committee members, Dr. Carrie Mitchell, Dr. Haiji Kim, and Joya Mesa, our undergrad, Herber, and Orbitech for developing the PPSC system, and Florican for providing the slow release, controlled release fertilizer. Thank you.
About 2.5 minutes for questions.
Yes.
Great presentation.
Thank you.
I'm just looking at the similar conditions that might exist in a spacecraft with a zero gravity, and you also mentioned that the veggie had a 2800 CO2 concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Did you simulate a similar condition in your experimentation, or what would be the zero gravity one?
Okay, so the question about the environmental condition, if we're mimicking all conditions, including gravity. So no, we can't mimic gravity, but we're mimicking the high CO2 level. We have the same CO2 level of 2800 parts per million. And yeah, this CO2 level actually is the most effective environmental condition in our plant growth, as lots of plants do not tolerate this high CO2 level. This is the reason why they took Chinese cabbage off from the list, because it didn't tolerate the high CO2 level. Yes?
Maybe you've already done this, but if you have to do a follow-up study, what kind of fertilizer treatments would you apply next?
So we started with looking at the substrate. So the question about follow-up studies. So as I mentioned, we have two objectives. So I presented the first one, and the second one is substrate. So we started by analyzing our substrate physical properties, because this might be something affecting fertilizer uptake and nutrition uptake in general. So we're running a new experiment with different substrate mix. We're using turfis, which is the coarse one, compared to profile. We're mixing turfis with profile to see effect of this. And we're also trying different fertilizer ratio. Yes?
What is the difference between profile and
turfis? So the question about difference between turfis and profile, they both the same material, but profile is the fine particles and turfis is the coarse one. Yes?
How about the disease?
Okay, the question about disease presentation. So we don't do any microbial analysis, but they do it in NASA. So we don't have any data about microbial analysis for our plant tissue.
That's all the time we have. Thank you.
Thank you.